I think there are many different ways into this, so I'm going to mention a couple. One very good way is take notice of all the inconsistencies in your experience, all the irregularities that are there all the time, and that these are opportunities for some kind of opening, some kind of awakening. These inconsistencies make spaces we can use in ways that I'll show in a minute. Normally, we prefer not to look at the inconsistencies in our life. It's more comfortable and convenient to ignore them, or at least that's how it feels. But then, of course, our delusions, relative delusions, just continue causing us problems. So a prime example of the kind of incongruity I'm talking about, if we take a serious look into our experience, we'll catch ourselves constantly thinking, this is me, this is mine, this is totally normal. It's totally normal to have these thoughts. I have them too. But actually, if we look into it, we see that it's highly incongruous, what we're doing there. It doesn't fit reality at all. And we can learn to let go of that way of relating to our experience in that manner of possessiveness and anxiety about me. So here's something already, I just invite you to look into it. I'm not going to say too much about that. But as something already very much in our present experience, we feel I'm hot, I'm cold, that we can use to bring the Dharma to life. You can say, well, what exactly is it? It's hard to recognise our ego grasping because we don't want to let it go. But when we start noticing the suffering it causes everybody, not to mention ourselves, we start getting genuinely interested in liberating ourselves from that way of thinking. It's not as though we have to get rid of ourselves. It's just a way of thinking. It's just a way of being, you know. And once we get genuinely interested, we just start seeing that kind of thing more and more. We'll naturally want to let that go. And what do we actually see, anyway? This is very interesting. There's that grasping I've just mentioned, grasping at an artificial ownership of things for the sake of an artificial sense of security. But we only have to stay with that realisation for a little while to see that things can never actually be grasped in the first place. This is the kind of more magical aspect of emptiness, you could say. Actually, things in themselves are completely free. You know, a house is just a house. Trousers are just trousers. Food is just food. There's never anything extra to that. If we relax the tension we bring to every situation with our ego grasping, it's already liberated. That's all that's necessary. And this is something that's both totally amazing and totally ordinary. That's the second approach I had in mind. Learn to look at everything, anything at all, and simply see directly its free and spacious nature. Seeing that free and spacious nature comes from a letting go of grasping in that way. For example, earlier on, I was talking about the wind element, the element of movement in the universe. And also, you know, well, the mind moves too. There are winds in the mind, you could say. The mind is sometimes relatively still. Certainly the winds in the body and mind become very subtle. Very subtle. At other times there is massive breezes, gales, even whirlwinds and tornadoes. We can really get blown away sometimes by particular responses and all sorts of things. You know, we can be overwhelmed by the power of thoughts and perceptions. We usually take these perceptions to be very real and concrete, and they are not really like that. There's the objective situation, and there is what we are bringing to it, and what we're bringing to it is often much exaggerated. So you can look at all these moving thoughts and perceptions and see directly how empty and spacious it all is. You know, you can try doing this as I speak. I find that when I'm listening to a talk, I'm fairly aware of my thoughts. Sometimes I'm thinking about what the speaker's saying, sometimes I'm not. I get involved in my own responses. I start having my own trains of thought. It's quite natural. I do that all the time, you know. For the purpose of this exercise, it doesn't matter at all what the thought is. What matters is that it's there. Now, don't you find that when you look into the actual thought, it somehow disappears so that you wonder, where did it go? Where was it? All I mean is, isn't there a kind of elusive quality to that thinking mind? An elusive, kind of transparent quality to our thoughts. So they sometimes seem to slide out of our grasp. If you've ever tried to write them down, you'll know that actually what you write down is never thoughts. What you write down, obviously, is words. Words are something quite different from the thoughts. Obviously, you can have thoughts that are words, but that's a little bit different.